So after telling us the benefits of bodhicitta, and then starting on the practices to prepare us for taking the bodhisattva vow, which was the last part of the last session, I just mentioned prostrations, making offerings, and then did a more elaborate explanation of confession. And now we go into the other seven limbs, okay? So rejoicing, requesting the Buddha to continue to teach, requesting that our teachers not leave us, and dedication. So I'll read some of the verses through those. And then all of that is preparation for taking the bodhisattva vow. In other words, generating, engaging bodhicitta. Okay, so this is in chapter 3. Gladly do I rejoice in the virtue that relieves the misery of all those in unfortunate states and that places those with suffering in happiness. Okay, so rejoicing at our own and others' virtue is very important. Yeah, we don't get proud, but we don't ignore it. We have to give ourselves credit for our virtue and for our good qualities. I rejoice in that gathering of virtue that is the cause for the arhat's awakening. I rejoice in the definite freedom of embodied creatures from the miseries of cyclic existence. So we rejoice not only in the virtues of ordinary beings, but also in the virtues of arhats who have attained liberation. I rejoice in the awakening of the Buddhas and also in the spiritual levels of their spiritual children, the bodhisattvas. So we rejoice also in the merit of the Buddhas and bodhisattvas. And with gladness, I rejoice in the ocean of virtues from developing bodhicitta that wishes all beings to be happy, as well as in the deeds that bring them benefit. So we rejoice in bodhicitta and in all of the bodhisattva conduct that benefits sentient beings. Then we move into requesting the Buddhas and our teachers for teachings. With folded hands, I beseech the Buddhas of all directions to shine the lamp of Dharma for all bewildered in misery's gloom. And then we request the Buddhas not to pass into parinirvana. With folded hands, I beseech the conquerors who wish to pass away to please remain for countless eons and not to leave the world in darkness. So these last two of requesting our teachers for teachings, requesting that the Buddhas not pass into parinirvana, these are very important because sometimes we begin to take the availability of the Dharma for granted. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, there's Dharma teachings tonight, but I feel like resting and there's a good TV program I want to watch, so I'll go to the Dharma Center next week, okay? And so we put things off and we don't really appreciate the teachings and the teachers. So these verses are important. Thus, by the virtue collected through all that I have done, may the pain of every living creature be completely cleared away. So by all the virtue, the merit we've collected, may we not dedicate it for our own benefit, but to alleviate the pain and misery of all living beings. May I be the doctor and the medicine, and may I be the nurse for all sick beings in the world until everyone is healed. And so now starts a series of verses where they're dedication verses where we really imagine becoming Buddhas and being able to work for the benefit of sentient beings and think of what it would be like to bring about these wonderful results for beings, to alleviate their pain, to bring them joy. May a rain of food and drink descend to clear away the pain of thirst and hunger. And during the times of famine, may I change myself into food and drink. May I become an inexhaustible treasure for those who are poor and destitute. May I turn into all things they could need, and may these be placed close beside them. Yeah? So by becoming a Buddha or an Arya Bodhisattva who can manifest many different forms, can we become what other sentient beings need? Without any sense of loss, I shall give up my body and enjoyments, as well as my virtue of the three times, for the sake of benefiting all. So it's good to contemplate these verses and imagine in our meditation that, you know, we're at a point where we can really give our body up. They say that we have as little attachment to our body as we do to a carrot. And we can give the carrot to somebody, and likewise, we can give our body and life to somebody. That's how little attachment we have for it. So it's good in our practice to imagine that, you know, what that would feel like to be able just to give our body, our possessions, everything to others without any sense of loss, without it feeling like this horrible sacrifice of ripping out my heart, but to joyfully be able to give. By giving up all, sorrow is transcended, and my mind will realize the sorrowless state, nirvana. It is best that I now give everything to all beings in the same way as I shall at death. So at death, we will separate from everything. So, and that time we don't have any choice and we don't accumulate any merit. If we practice generosity and give things now, we accumulate vast merit that will enrich our mind with spiritual potential, enable us to gain realizations more quickly, and be something to rejoice at when we die. Then he continues, may all who say bad things to me or cause me any other harm, and those who mock and insult me, have the fortune to fully awaken. Wow. Yeah? Usually we want to punch these people in the nose, but here we're, you know, dedicating for their full awakening. So again, these verses are so important in our meditation. Imagine feeling that way towards the people who criticize you behind your back and the people who harm you and interfere with your well-being. Yeah, instead of nurturing rancor and revenge, you know, in your meditation, imagine just letting it all go, really praying for these beings to be well and happy. Because if they were well and happy, they wouldn't be doing the things that you find so objectionable. May I be the protector for those without one, a guide for all travelers on the way. May I be a bridge, a boat, and a ship for all those who wish to cross the water. May I be an island for those who seek one, and a lamp for those desiring light. May I be a bed for all who wish to rest, and a servant for all who need one. May I be a wish-fulfilling jewel, a magic vase, powerful mantras, and great medicine. May I become a wish-fulfilling tree and a cow of plenty for the world. So these last things are things in ancient Indian culture that would bring about all benefit and fulfill all wishes, worldly wishes. Just like space and the great elements such as earth, may I always support the life of all the boundless creatures. And until they pass away from pain, may I also be the source of life for all the realms of varied beings that reach until the end of space. So may I be of benefit, not just to a few beings, but extensive benefit to all beings. And so in our meditation, imagine feeling this and being able to do that and the happiness that that would bring about in our own mind of imagining these other beings receiving all of this and being at peace. And then comes the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Okay, so we've imagined being able to do all these things. Now we commit ourselves to doing the practice of bodhisattvas. So verse 23 and 24 in chapter 3. Just as the previous Sugatas gave birth to bodhicitta, and just as they successively dwelt in the bodhisattva practices, likewise, for the sake of all that lives, do I give birth to bodhicitta, and likewise shall I too successively follow the practices. So these two verses are one of the ways when our teachers give us the bodhisattva way, the bodhisattva vow. These are one way in which they do it, by having us recite these two verses after them. And then rejoicing at generating the bodhicitta. It is the supreme ambrosia that overcomes the sovereignty of death. It is the inexhaustible treasure that eliminates all poverty in the world. When we generate bodhicitta, when we become an Arya Bodhisattva, when we attain Buddhahood, we are able to banish the sufferings that we experience and help others to banish their miseries. And in particular, after becoming an Arya, after realizing emptiness directly, then death doesn't bother us. Yeah, because we're not attached to our body, our ego identity, our reputation, anything. So it overcomes the sovereignty of death. It is the supreme medicine that quells the world's disease. It is the tree that shelters all beings wandering and tired on the path of conditioned existence. Bodhicitta is the universal bridge that leads to freedom from unhappy states of birth. It is the dawning moon of the mind that dispels the torment of disturbing conceptions. It is the great sun that finally removes the misty ignorance of the world. It is the quintessential butter from the churning of the milk of Dharma. So they say that, you know, when you churn milk, the butter rises to the top, and that's the good stuff. So similarly, when we take all of the Buddhist teachings, if we were to look at what is the highest thing that's, you know, so precious, that's the bodhicitta. You know, so you may ask, well, why is that more important than the aspiration to attain liberation generated by the shravakas and the solitary realizers? The reason is because the shravakas and solitary realizers, although they renounce samsara and realize the nature of emptiness and eliminate the afflictions from their mind, they attain what is called solitary peace. They attain their own nirvana, and then they abide in their own nirvana, yeah, meditating on emptiness. But they aren't able, after they enter that nirvana, to be of direct benefit to sentient beings. Whereas if we attain full awakening, yeah, from the very get-go, our motivation is to be able to benefit sentient beings. And so to attain not only nirvana and our own peace, but to be able to fully banish or remove all the defilements from our mind. Not only the afflictive obscurations that the arhats have eliminated, but also the cognitive obscurations that remain on the minds of the arhats. So if we can eliminate those cognitive obscurations, then we attain Buddhahood. And then we attain not only the truth body, the Buddha's omniscient mind, and the emptiness and true cessations on that mind, but we also attain the Buddha's form bodies, which I mentioned before, one of them being the body where they teach the Arya Bodhisattvas, and that's a body made of light. And then the other one, being the bodies in which they manifest to teach those of us ordinary beings who are here and very engrossed in the desire realm. So that would be like Shakyamuni Buddha appearing in our world to teach us. So today, in the presence of all the protectors, I invite the world to be the guests at a festival of temporary and ultimate delight. May the gods, demigods, and all be joyful. Okay, so, you know, generating bodhicitta, the aspiring bodhicitta, taking the bodhisattva vow, then it is the cause for joy for all living beings. Yeah, because it means that one more person is dedicating their life to helping them.